Good to see all of you early this morning here as we worship the Lord together. It was my full intent this Lord's Day to conclude our series on the marks of grace and then begin on the book of John next week. But all this week I have had another topic burning within me, so much so that I feel that I should not delay in bringing it to you all. And so this morning I would like to address another subject. It is a most important subject that directly and seriously concerns each and every one of us. I would like to talk to you this morning about your soul. Introduction on your handout. The Irish Bible commentator Adam Clark, born in 1762, often wrote to the reader saying, "Take care for your soul." And this is my call to you today, that you would take care for your soul. It is not that we say take care of your soul, for God is the one who cares for our soul, of our soul. But what we say today is take care for your soul. The well-being of your soul, for the well-being of your soul, do with that which is needful for the salvation of your soul. For the sake of your soul, see to it that Christ is your Lord. We must take care for our soul, for the condition of our soul is a matter of great urgency, for not a one of us knows what tomorrow holds. We make our plans, but only God knows what will happen in the next moment. Our plans can change in an instant. How many, just 5 years ago, had their day planned when suddenly two jet planes slammed into two towers and plans were forever altered? That day, how many went to work thinking it was just another day when in reality it was their final moment? How differently they might have planned their day, what things they might have accomplished and gotten done, or made sure that they told their loved ones if they had known that their time was so very, very short, what things they might have placed in order if they had only known that their life hung in the balance, and how might they have cared for their soul? These would have been blessed if Adam Clark's words would have pierced their hearts, telling them to take care for their soul. Our dearly loved friends, our brother and sister, Jim and Crystal, planned to go out for a day of enjoyment, and we have not seen them since, and we do not know what has happened to them. We must take care for our soul. Many are the plans of men, but it is God's will that always prevails. We can be sure of this, for the Lord has pronounced it. It is decreed in the heavens. It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. As surely as we have been born, we will die, for it has been appointed unto us. But death of the body will not be the end, for then comes the judgment. I do not tell you these things to strike fear in you, for fear is a poor, poor motivator. But I tell you this in love, that you need not fear. Letter B, this life is fleeting, but a vapor, then it is gone. But this need not scare us, for if we have cared for our soul, then we need not live dreading our last breath. But we can live looking forward to it, for then we will see our Savior face to face. In love, I say, care for your soul. Please, if you would, with Bibles open to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, we will read four verses through verse 27. Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" First, this morning, let us establish, number one, that everyone has a soul. Each one of us has a soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being," or as the King James Version literally translated, "man became a living soul." Letter A, when the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Before God breathed the breath of life into the man was lifeless dust. Though there might have been form, because God formed him, he was lifeless dust. But when God breathed the breath of life into the man, he became a living soul. And from the first man and woman, life has been passed down to us. And as we live, we have a soul given us from God. Depending upon the Bible translation one reads, the word soul appears up to more than 450 times in the scripture, with the word being used in the Psalms 132 times. And it is always in relationship to mankind. The Bible speaks clearly about the souls of man. Each one of us has a soul. As the Genesis account reveals, it was God who breathed the breath of life into the man. Then the man became a living soul. We understand from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that God forms us in our mother's womb, and he knows us before he formed us. In Psalm 127, verse 3, a blessed scripture says that our children are a gift granted from God. So number one, God is the one who grants life and gives us our soul. Furthermore, Numbers chapter 16, verse 22, and chapter 27, verse 16, identifies God as the God of the spirits of all flesh. And Zechariah 12:1 identifies the Lord as the one who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. In the New Testament, Hebrews 12:9 speaks of God as the Father of spirits. And therefore, in Ezekiel 18:4, God says, "Behold, all souls are mine." Our soul is from God. And number two, every soul belongs to God. Our souls, your soul, my soul, belongs to God. You have a soul. It is given you by God. Your soul belongs to God. Therefore, beloved, take care for your soul. We might ask, well, what is the soul? When God created man, there was the material part of the man that God formed from the dust. But it is when God breathed the breath of life into the man that the man, that dust, the material part, became a living soul. So there is a material part of us and an immaterial, or if you will, spiritual part of us. Number three, our soul is the immaterial, spiritual part of us. The material part, dust of the man, was not living until God gave the material part an immaterial or spiritual part. Then man became a living soul. And let me suggest to you that number four, the soul is the greater part. For the material part, the body was not alive until it was given the spiritual part. And the body, the material part of the man, dies when the spiritual part leaves it. In the record of Rachel's death, that is Abraham's wife, excuse me, that's not right, Isaac's wife. In the record of Rachel's death during her delivery, the delivering of her son, Genesis chapter 35, verse 18 says, "And it came about, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin." Did you hear what that said? That as her soul was departing, for she died. The soul did not die, but it departed the body, and the body died. The material part of us is dependent upon the soul. As long as the immaterial soul is in the material body, the body lives. But the soul is not dependent upon the material body, for the soul can depart the body. Letter A. This is why when the scripture says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, that there can be a judgment. For though the body die, the soul continues. The body would be absolutely nothing without the soul. The soul is by far the greater part. Our soul is the non-physical part of our being that the physical part is dependent upon. And yet, how many of us, now think about this, how many of us are more concerned with the care of our body but hardly give our soul a thought? We must take care for our soul. And then to further our understanding, let us consider the nature of our soul. Our soul is from God, it is spiritual, and it is more than life. It is not merely that our soul gives our body life, but our soul is that part of us that is conscious of life, experiences life, and thinks and causes us to be and do. The body would know nothing of life, nor any of life's experiences, never have a thought, never have a feeling without the soul. The soul is what gives our flesh, our material body's animation, personality, thought, desires, movement, breath. The Bible speaks of the soul blessing, desiring, hating, loving, pleading, weeping, being impatient, distressed, annoyed, crushed, grieved, troubled, dismayed, tormented, pursued, torn, worn against, warred against, rescued, restored, made glad, blessed, strengthened, redeemed from despair, and kept. And number five, the soul can prosper, remember, delight, tremble, boast, be weary, bitter, refreshed, exalt God, and be lost or saved. What is the soul? The person. The soul is what gives us personhood. While the body is the earthly container, and a marvelous earthly container at that, it is the body which will return to the dust. Without the soul, we would not be a person. Our soul is the real us that will live on when the body dies. Letter A, in God giving us a soul, we are made a person. While we can be separated from our body, we cannot be separated from our soul. The soul is us. Number six, if the soul does and experiences all things, and the soul is not dependent upon the body, then our person will live on when the soul departs the body. Though the body may die, the soul lives. This is why Paul could say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Again, this is how there can be a judgment, because though our body will die, our soul, which is our consciousness and experiences all of life and makes decisions and is responsible for those decisions, is to be judged. Tell me, what is it that happens when someone dies? A moment before they were alive, and then suddenly the spirit departs, and the personality, the feelings, the consciousness, and the thought that was attached to the body is gone. The spirit, the soul, has departed. So it is no wonder then that Adam Clark says, take care for your soul. Number seven, the soul is something to be cared for, because after our body has gone to the grave, our soul in full consciousness will exist to face God. That which is of the dust returns to the dust, but that which belongs to God returns to God. Therefore, we must take care for our soul. Now then, with these things being established, back to our text, where we are going to find Roman numeral 2, that Jesus taught us how to care for our soul. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds." Here in this passage of Scripture, our Lord clearly ties life to the soul. He builds then one verse upon another, and he speaks of losing our life the same as forfeiting our soul. So let us examine the text. The Lord said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." If we wish to make Jesus Christ our Lord, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. But first, I would like to make this note that there is the issue of the will. Jesus said, "If anyone wishes," or some of your translations say, "wills to come after me." Hear me now. In the care of our soul, each one of us must make a willful choice to follow Jesus. The prophet of old said, "Choose today whom ye will serve." If we are to care for our soul, there must be a deliberate, conscious, and determined choice to follow Jesus. And beloved, for each one who does not make this determined choice to follow after Jesus, their soul is lost. We are to make up our mind once for all not to waver, but to choose to follow Christ. Letter A, if one is to care for their soul, they must, number one, make the willful decision to follow Jesus. They must make that choice. And if we will come after Jesus Christ, we must deny ourselves. No longer can we be the master of our ship, but we must give the helm to Christ. None of this co-pilot stuff. He gets the driver's seat. We must deny ourselves. We must deny our earthly wants and desires, our sinful cravings, our earthly longing to live for our own satisfaction. We must deny our selfish desires and begin to live in obedience to Christ. That is what it means to follow after him, to obey him. It is to say, my life is not my own, but I have been bought with a price, the precious and dear blood of Jesus Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live not as a slave to my sinful desires, but as a servant of obedience to Jesus Christ. The one who denies themselves says, not my will be done, but my master's will be done. If one is to care for their soul, they must, number two, deny themselves. They must deny themselves. One commentator wrote, we must deny ourselves absolutely. We must not admire our own shadow, nor gratify our own humor. We must not lean to our own understanding, nor seek our own things, nor be our own end. We must deny ourselves comparatively. We must deny ourselves for Christ and his will and his glory and the service of his interest in the world. We must deny ourselves for our brethren and for our own good. And we must deny ourselves for the benefit of ourselves. We must deny the appetites of the body for the benefit of our soul. And in denying ourselves, the scripture goes on to say we are to pick up our cross. And what is our cross? It is the sufferings of self-denial. We must bear whatever hardship comes our way as we follow the Master. If one is to care for their soul, they must, number three, pick up their cross, bearing the sufferings of self-denial. Each one who follows after Jesus Christ will bear a cross. For some, they will suffer terrible persecution. For others, their calling to ministry will include hardship and arduous labor. Others will suffer the terrible temptations of ease, and ease brings terrible temptations. Almost all will have particular difficulties in denying their sinful passions, where one has a foul mouth, another a lustful heart, and others struggle with anger, and others with depression, and another an addiction, and many will face multiple difficulties. But if they are going to follow after Christ, they must deny their own selfish interests as they bear the cross of self-denial. I find it intriguing that the Lord did not say, let him deny himself and pick up his cross if he has one, but to pick up his cross, period. In other words, if you follow Christ, you will bear the cross of self-denial. You will have to say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. And God will call you to do things and to give up things that you will not want to do and you will not want to give up. There is a cross for everyone who would follow after Jesus Christ. I tell you this quite honestly. If you decide to follow after Christ, there is a definite price to pay. No one has come to Christ who hasn't had to give up their fleshly desires. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It almost sounds redundant, doesn't it? If anyone wishes to come after me, he must follow me. But there is no redundancy here, for the Lord is saying, if anyone says they have the desire to come after me, then they must act upon it and come after me. Their words must become action. They must literally do what they say they desire to do. We can talk about our desires to follow Christ all we want, but the Lord says, if you will profess to come after me, then make it your profession to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and actually follow me. If one is to care for their soul, they must, number four, actively follow Christ. We might say, follow you where, Lord? Where will you take us? And beloved, this is the conclusion that you must come to. Wherever he takes me, though it be unknown, I will go. Here is the Lord's answer, wherever I lead you. And know this, that where he leads us is not a matter really of where, but first and foremost, a condition of our heart. And when he has led our heart and our heart is right, we will be where he wants us to be. He will lead us to have a right heart. Why must those who follow after Christ deny themselves? Why must they pick up their cross? Why must they follow after him? Because, verse 25, whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Here is the principle upon which our Lord's words of verse 24 are founded. You must deny yourself, you must pick up your cross, you must follow him, because whoever wishes to save his life, that is, whoever wishes to save his sinful desires and entertain them by denying Christ shall lose his soul. But whoever gives up his life, denying his sinful passions, to follow after and obey the will of Jesus Christ shall gain his soul with everlasting life. Hear me now, church. This is a matter of grave importance. It is a matter of life and death, and it has been set before us. Letter B. If one will deny God his rightful ownership of their soul, they will not inherit eternal life, but their soul will be eternally condemned. Who are we not to give back to God what is his? Furthermore, who do we think we are, and who do we think God is, when we think we can keep from God what is his and that God will not receive what is his? We are fooling ourselves. Number one, those who try to take for themselves what belongs to God and what Christ Jesus died to save, that they might enjoy the passing sinful pleasures of this world, forfeit the eternal life that He alone can and would give them. Oh, He gives freely. He gives freely. Why would we forfeit that? Why then would we try to save this temporary, fleeting, passing life which we cannot save? And give up eternal life which we could not lose? Is it anything to a sound mind to give up that which you cannot keep to gain that which you cannot lose? And that really is the other side of this verse. For whoever gives his life to follow after Christ shall gain eternal life. What is it that we are trying to save in this world? Our sinful desires? Would we try to satisfy our perishing, sinful self at the expense of our eternal soul? How long? How long will you live in lust? And I ask you, and when has your lustful heart ever been satisfied? How long will you give yourself to greed? And when has your greedy heart ever been satisfied? And how long will we give ourselves to lies and deception? And when will the lies and deception bring us satisfaction? Unless you care for your soul by denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Christ, you will give yourself to your sinful desires until the day you die. But then comes the judgment, and you will have also lost your soul. But if you will care more for your soul than your sinful desires, then you will deny yourself. You will suffer the cross, and you will follow after Christ. And though your sinful desires be denied, your soul will be most satisfied, for you will have gained eternal life. No wonder so many are searching and selling their soul to all manner of sin, because they are searching for peace and satisfaction, fulfillment. But they have not gone to the only one who can satisfy the soul, that is, the soul's maker. So they search, and they go from here to there, and they search, and they try this and that, and they search, and they search, and they keep going back to the same things, and yet they are empty. The soul is only filled. The soul is only satisfied when it is given back to its maker. That is why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Dear ones, I plead with you today, take care for your soul. Number two, whatever you might suffer as you follow after Christ is only a light and momentary suffering, and is nothing to be compared to the eternal weight of glory that awaits you. What you suffer, what you might give up, is momentary, but what you gain, beloved, is forever. What might you give up? What dear thing might you give up? Immorality? Is that is what so dear to your heart that you'll let your soul go? Lies? Deceit? Drunkenness, hatred? And will you hang on to those things as if they are precious at the expense of your soul? And again I say, what right-minded person would not forfeit such rot to gain such glory? It is insanity to continue in sin. For in sin one tries to gain what they cannot keep, but it is of a sound mind to forfeit what one cannot keep to gain the eternal weight of glory that cannot be lost. and is found in Christ. Take care of your soul. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Letter C. What will it profit you? Even if you gain the entire world, but you lose your soul. What will you do when you are the wealthiest person in the world and you have not one moment of peace? What will you do when you have filled your life full of earthly pleasures, but your soul is lost? What have you gained? What earthly thing might you gain that will be of any good to you when your soul returns to the Lord for judgment? And this is the problem. It isn't simply that our soul dies and is no more, but that your soul either comes to eternal life or everlasting destruction. Choose today whom you will serve. Take care for your soul. Matthew Henry wrote, "Every man has a soul of his own. The soul is the spiritual and immortal part of man, which thinks and reasons, has a power of reflection and prospect, which actuates the body now, and will shortly act in a separation from the body." Our souls are not our own, not in respect of dominion and property, for we are not our own, all souls are mine, saith God, but in respect to nearness and concern. Our souls are our own, for they are ourselves. It is possible for the soul to be lost, and there is danger of it. The soul is lost when it dies as far as a soul can die, when it is separated from the favor of God and sunk under his wrath and curse. "Your soul," he says, "is worth more than all the world. Our own soul is of greater value to us than all the wealth, honor, and pleasures of this present time, if we had them. Here is the whole world set in the scale against our soul, and the world is found too light to weigh it down. The winning of the world is often the losing of the soul. Many a one has ruined his eternal interest by his preposterous and inordinate care to secure in advance his temporary concerns. It is the love of the world and the eager pursuit of it that drowns men in destruction. The loss of the soul is so great a loss that the gain of the whole world will not countervail it. He that loses his soul, though it be to gain the world, makes a very bad bargain for himself and will sit down at the last an unspeakable loser. When he comes to balance the account and to compare profit and loss, he will find that instead of the advantage he promised himself, he is ruined, irreparably broken. What will you do when you have dishonestly gained great wealth and then you go where gold cannot buy and your soul is lost? What will you do when in greed your earthly mansion is built and you own vacation homes all the way around the world, but your soul has left this world and it stands before the Lord lost? What earthly, sinful, passing pleasures will entertain your mind when you stand before the Holy God and your soul is lost? Better it is to suffer persecution unto death than to lose your soul. And then, church, I would say to you that today, if you do not care for your own soul, what about the souls of your children? What will you do when in greed and pride you have given your children the best this world can offer, but you have neglected the care of their soul and their soul is lost? What will it accomplish when they are successful in the world's eyes but a failure in God's eyes? Will we spend our time playing and having fun, not wanting to be too serious, and fail to care for the souls of our children? I ask you, parents, what will you do when you spend your time having fun, avoiding the seriousness and the boredom of church, and your time is gone and your child's soul is lost? We must take care for our soul and in it care for the souls of our children. Jesus asks this question, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The idea here is this. Once the immaterial soul departs the body, and if it is lost, it is lost forevermore. There is no redemption after that time. That's why this is an urgent message. There will not be a second chance. For the loss of a soul cannot be made up. If you would not care for your soul by denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following after Christ in this life, then you will not do so after your spirit departs, for there remains no more sacrifice for sins. What are they going to do? Crucify Christ all over again? If you did not believe, you did not believe. So I ask you today, face to face, number one, what are you now giving in exchange for your soul? What sinful thing are you exchanging your soul for? What lust? What addiction? What anger and hatred and bitterness? What greed? What sinful gain? Is it worth your soul? For when your soul departs your body, there will be no chance for exchange. The bell will have tolled, and the sacrifice you forfeited will be offered no more. Verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. Turn today while there is mercy. Turn today while there is forgiveness. Turn today while there is a sacrifice. Take care for your soul this hour, beloved. Turn to Christ while there is time. Jesus said, Luke 12:15-21, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even one has an abundance. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And the Lord is saying, life isn't about what you've got. Life isn't about your possessions. And then he told them a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, this rich man, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, and beloved, what God says is what matters. And God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Beloved, we cannot say to our soul, soul, take your ease. But we must take care for our soul. The conclusion then. I do not know when my soul, nor when your soul, will be required by God, the rightful owner. But this I do know. He will require our soul, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment? Have you cared for your soul? Choose today who you will serve. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And in so doing, you will have taken care of your soul, and eternal life in Christ is yours. Would you please bow your heads? Young people, there is no need for you to go out into this world and to sell your soul. I know that the world will tell you, and many of your friends will tell you, and the advertisers will tell you that you're missing out by not going the way of the world. But let me tell you what you're missing out on. You're missing out on heartache, heartbreak, regret, and the loss of your soul. There is no need for you to go that way. Our life is but a vapor, then it is gone. You may be young and you may have your entire life before you, but ask someone who is older how fast life has gone by. And they'll be quick to tell you, it's but a vapor, then it's gone. You might have convinced yourself that you will wait until you are older, and then you'll make it right. How do you know? If you cannot choose for God today, when will you choose to follow after Christ? At what point? When will you not think that you have one more day to change your mind? Life is fleeting. We do not know what the next moment holds. I think that we will all meet here next week, but I do not know. Choose today whom you will serve. Give your life to Christ. Take care for your soul. As the song says, let goods and kindred go. Beloved, beloved, take care for your soul. Perhaps you're not young. Perhaps some years are behind you. And you've allowed sin to get a grip in you. Beloved, in Christ, you are free from the bondage of sin. If you have turned your life to Christ, sin does not have a grip on you. You are gripping it. Let go. Take care for your soul and let go. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Let go of the sin. Deny yourself. When we are young, it is our temptation to have a rebellious heart. When we are middle-aged, it's our temptation to have a rebellious heart. When we are older, it is our temptation to have a rebellious heart. But beloved, today is the day to submit to Christ and leave the rebellion behind. Take care for your soul. I am not going to ask for anyone to raise their hands. I'm not going to ask for anyone to say a prayer with me. Here is what I'm going to tell you. That if you will follow Christ, then deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Make that your choice today and live by it. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. With hearts broken for the lost. With hearts broken for our brothers and sisters who are lost. For our children who are lost. We ask God for your mercy upon their souls. As much as we would care for their soul, O God, we cannot. We can love, we can warn, we can share, we can encourage, but each one must take care for their own soul. I ask, O God, that you shine your light upon them. Lord, that you give them a sound mind, good sense, and that they would see that everything in this world is rot, loss, decay. But everything in the heavens is good, pure, and profitable. Let us not, O Lord, we pray, lose our soul exchanging the eternal life you offer through Jesus Christ for some sinful thing here on earth. Let us receive what you have freely offered. Salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And may it be, Lord, that we live out the rest of our days, should they be few or many, following after Jesus. We praise you, for you are most loving in speaking to us in your word about our soul. We thank you and we praise you, our Lord and our God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If what you have heard today is consistent with the Word of God, I would encourage you that you would go home and you would talk about it to those whom you love and even to those who hate you, that you would care for their souls. We would not wish a hell on anybody, but we do not delight in the destruction of the wicked as God does not, but desires that all men would be saved. Beloved, share the love of Christ. Share with people the importance of their soul, and above all things, take care for your own soul. May God bless you as you go your way today.